Blog Talk Radio.
K-Classic.
They told you that you couldn't do it cause you're washed up. Ain't like them bad girls that you should get your sauce up. But I got this plan and you might not understand. I'ma go hard as I can and I'm gonna be the boss of it. And just watch me do this, put no limits, only swag on it. Walk right up to the front where I belong and brag on it. Go to the top, I'ma give it all I got. Might take a lot, but we ain't gonna never stop. I still believe I'm something special, can't take that from me. So you can say what you want, I go harder, stronger, be who I'm supposed to be.
Global Network, and this is the Focus Factor, where we motivate a movement and empower you to soar. Welcome again. We have another exciting topic. This is a beautiful day today, so we're going to just keep it moving. I'm so excited. I have a special guest on the line, my girl, my daughter, Tiffany Hunter, CEO of the X God Made Next. Tiffany, are you there? I think your mic is open. I don't know if she's on the line yet, but I got her mic open, so we're going live. So I'm waiting on her to come on. Yeah. Let me see. Tiffany, are you there?
Hello, I am here.
Yeah, my girl Tiffany Hunter, my daughter of CEO God, the X God Made Next, and we got an exciting topic today. Me and Tiffany are just going to be in some conversation. If you guys want to call in and you have some questions, the call-in number is 516-595-8287. I got the chat open. Yay, I got the chat open for once. Yes, finally learned how to work it. Got the chat open. If you want to ask a question, just pop it into the chat. We make sure we get to those right away. Before we get started, got a few house rules that I want to go over. We have provided this program for you all to voice your thoughts. We're going to have an open floor which means everyone will have an opportunity to ask questions. We just ask that you respect everyone's opinion because we want this to be a safe place for us to communicate and get empowered. We do not get political on this line whatsoever. We're here to encourage and empower. Amen. Amen. So let's just do a recap of last week's topic. And last week's topic, we talked about strategies for staying motivated when things seem stagnant in your life. A lot of people that I talked to after the program were dealing with procrastination and not being able to move forward, even in a time where we have to practice social distancing. It's really hard to keep things moving. And even in our minds and in our homes, we have to be now extra creative with our children, and we have to be creative with ourselves to keep things moving, to keep the flow going, but yet in your house. And wanted to go over just a little bit some of the things we talked about because I think it ties into the topic on today, and we'll get with that in a minute. So a strategy. And it was the last week's topic was strategies for staying motivated. And we talked about what a strategy was. And a strategy is a plan of action designed to achieve a major goal. It's a careful plan. It's a method that you have to create to get you to achieve that major goal that you want to accomplish. And I gave you a few keys. I think it was five or six keys to help you get motivated in that right area or to get you moving. And one of the keys was keep focused, stay on track, keep moving, and build momentum. So those are the keys. It was stay focused, stay on track, keep moving, and build your momentum. So I know a lot of people when they call in and they're listening and they are taking notes. So I'm going to kind of slow it down as we have our conversation on developing a roadmap to your purpose, because I've talked to a lot of people still, and a lot of people really still don't understand their purpose in life. What does that really mean, my purpose? So you have to develop a roadmap to your purpose. You don't just fall into your purpose. That's, I believe, if you agree, that's something that has to be developed. You have to go through a phase or a stage or a process before you really come into yourself to figure out your purpose in life. So mm-hmm. Today's topic is developing a roadmap to your purpose. So I asked myself when I was looking over this topic, you know, what's a roadmap? Here again, a roadmap is a plan or strategy intended to achieve a particular goal. It's the same thing as the strategy we talked about. The strategy is the plan or action designed to achieve a major goal. It's the same thing. It's the method that you use in order to get you to your purpose. The roadmap is the method that you use to get you to your purpose. So a lot of people says, you know, I don't know my purpose. So what is your purpose? Your purpose is the reason for which something is done, created, or exists. It's a fixed design outcome or idea that is the object of an action or another effort. So basically, to sum it all up, your purpose is why you were created. Why are you here on this earth? So I'm gonna talk to Tiffany a little bit about purpose. Was it hard for you to identify your purpose when you first got saved? And we just gonna chop it up a little bit and talk, you know, sister to sister, mother to daughter, however you want to say it. But was it hard for you in this day and age to identify your purpose, your God-given purpose?
It was. I believe a lot of us struggle with having identity crisis at times, and so for me, I would say it was.
Okay. And when I was looking at this, like, wow, when we talk about an identity crisis, that means I don't identify with the things that are in the world. I don't identify with the skin that I'm in right now. So I don't identify with anything. So therefore, I'm lost. I'm in a crisis situation, because if I don't know who I am, how can I move in my purpose? And how can I how can I run towards a destiny when I don't have a purpose? So my question that I ask myself, you know, why is knowing my purpose important? And what I came up with was finding your life purpose creates a sense of meaning in your life. You know what you love to do, what you are good at, and how you can contribute to the world. So knowing or figuring out what your purpose is creates a sense of meaning or a sense of belonging. And a lot of times, and you know, I'm even one that talked to a lot of children that suffer with an identity crisis, and it saddens me sometimes, because they would rather check out of here than to stay here, because they feel they have no connection with this world or no connection with their parents. It's easier, like I said, to check out or to, you know, to get on drugs and not care, because I don't know who I am. I don't identify with this and I don't identify with that, so I don't identify with anything. So therefore, I have no more meaning in life. This is the mindset that I see in some of the children that I talk to. And knowing who and whose we are, I think, is very important in this day and age. And then I went on and read a little bit more, and it says, finding a sense of meaning to life gives you a sense of place. A lot of people don't have a sense of place, a sense of belonging. When we find our purpose, it's easier to know where you belong and what you're supposed to be doing. If you ask people what you're doing and they tell you they don't know, 9 times out of 10, they feel they don't have a place. They're just sitting in a place. Does that make sense?
That's good.
Because a lot of times some people, they'll be in a church sitting in the place, but they have no place there. They're not moving. They're not doing anything. Sometimes you can be on your job. You're there, but you really don't want to be there. You're not being utilized in your gifts or your talents, and you're just existing. You're not living. To me, I used to be there, you know, before I came into realizing who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. I just existed. I woke up, brushed my teeth, took a shower, put on clothes, went to work, and it was a never-ending cycle that I was in. I felt like I was dying on the inside, just day after day after day, but I knew there was something greater. And I want to talk about the roadmap to your purpose and how do you get there. What was the determining factor, Tiffany, for you in your turnaround or your next? What was the determining factor from there to now? To discovering your true purpose. What was the roadmap that you used?
Absolutely, absolutely. For me, actually, it was coming into my place in God. That was my true turnaround point. And even then, when you go in and say, okay, Lord, here I am, it's still a struggle. You still have to find yourself. But I decided to give it a real chance. For me, you know, I went through the period of, like you said, I was feeling like I was just existing but had no life or no purpose. I was dying inside, and it's like, okay, well, what am I here for, you know? And questioning, you know, well, who am I and, you know, what is my purpose? And, you know, God, are you even noticing me? And so
you know, after trying to check out, because I did not know who I was not comfortable in the skin that I was in, and I was still here, and it's like, okay, I'm here, I'm not gone, so clearly it's not time for me to leave yet. After coming into that place, then I was like, okay, let me give God a real chance. Let me find out who I am in Him and build my confidence that way. Once I found out who He said I was and began building my confidence and began loving myself, then I was able to find, you know, my purpose, and I was able to, it's like, I don't know, once you give in to some of the things once you give in to some things, then God would just start showing you different pieces of who you are, and different things would start happening, different doors would start opening, the way that people would even begin to see you because you love yourself and you walk differently in your walk, your respect is, you know, comes differently to you. Then those were the changes for me. But it was really just coming into who I was in Christ and knowing that.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because that's interesting, because I meet so many beautiful women like yourself, and, you know, other women that I meet, and I'm going to include myself in there because, you know, when I mean beauty, not just outer beauty, but inner beauty. But there mm-hmm. is or always or there was some insecurity, or like you said, not being comfortable with the skin that you're in, because knowing your purpose is an instant motivator. So a lot of us were not motivated because we didn't know our purpose. We weren't comfortable with who we were as women, whether you're black or white, or, you know, whether you're Hispanic or whatever it is. So let's start with knowing self. So, you know, the first check is, you know, who are you? When we say being insecure, not comfortable with the skin you're in, you know, we can look in the mirror and we can walk past the mirror and not really like ourselves because of what we were told mm-hmm. as children, or what society told us as teenagers, or let's go a little deeper, what some young man told you that you were or made you feel, you know, you took that as face value and you connected that with your true self. And then you identified that as being who you are. And now, you know, you don't like yourself. True?
Yep. That's true.
You know, so when we ask ourselves, who are you? How do you get to those steps? And I like what you said. You had to get into God to really understand who you were. That was the turning point for me, was getting saved, because I found validation in what other people told me that I was. You know, yeah. If they told me I was ugly, then I accepted the fact that I was ugly. If they told me that I was too fat, then I accepted the fact that I was too fat. If they told me that my voice was too deep, then I accepted the fact that my voice was too deep, because I suffered from an identity crisis. I had no identity, mm-hmm. and people will give you one if you don't take ownership yes. of who you are. So
yes.
what advice or what empowerment nugget, let's not say advice, what empowerment nugget would you give women that are listening that are suffering from an identity crisis, that woman that still feels, you know, betrayed, or that woman that still feels insecure, that woman that, you know, still doesn't use her voice? What empowerment nugget would you give her to help her to understand who she is today?
I would say so. Okay, so let me say this before I give that nugget. Okay, so these are one of the things that really helped me, and I'm just being honest. Years and years and years ago, being natural hair, having your natural hair or having a bald head just seemed to be unacceptable. It really did. You know, if you wore your natural hair, you was nappy headed. If you cut your hair, you was bald headed because, you know, guys liked long hair. So it was like, you know, it became, in my time was coming up, it was like hair was a necessity. It was a necessity and it was an accessory to your appearance. So
right.
When I was coming into myself, I've always wanted to cut my hair, but I never cut my hair because people would make me feel bad if I was going to cut my hair. Or you wouldn't be pretty enough if you walked around with a bald head or anything like that. So I came into a place where literally the voice came to me and was like, cut your hair, cut it. And I decided to be bold. That was my moment of being bold and stepping outside of a character that everybody else was trying to put on me. That was my moment of becoming the woman that I wanted to be and not listening to what everybody else's opinion was about me. So I decided to cut my hair. And when I cut my hair, I was always told I had a beautiful smile. But, you know, you don't believe those things sometimes when you're insecure and have no confidence. But when I cut my hair, I was actually able to really see myself. And I did. I walked around with my shoulders up and my head held high, and I was proud of my haircut. And in that moment, I wasn't looking for anybody's opinions. I wasn't looking for anybody to say anything to me, but I literally was addressed as queen by many people. Like, oh my goodness, you look like an African queen. You look very beautiful. It was like the respect changed. It was like the talk changed the way that people was looking at me. You know, I was no longer the name calls of the world when I was trying to be somebody else. So I walked in a different type of confidence because I stepped out of that comfort zone that I was in of who everybody was trying to, you know, how everybody was trying to make me feel about this accessory that we use, this hair. So what I would say is I think a lot of women have that instinct sometimes to be bold in their character or who they feel like they really are, but they're not walking out in it because of what someone else has told them. And so they shy that person away. I would just say be bold and walk out. Like,
be bold.
You know, find that, be bold and walk out. Find that, you know, what has someone put you down so badly and it has made you just completely lose yourself? Forget it and be bold and walk, you know, walk that thing out. Like I said, for me, mine was hair. You know, we had to have hair on our head. And then I cut it. I chopped it off. And I felt, and I don't know, cutting it just made me just have this sense of freedom. And it was like, yes, I'm walking into who I am. This is me. Hi, Tiffany. Hello. You know, and that's what it was for me.
So you had to, if I'm hearing you correctly, you had to do something that you never done before, but you had to take something that they. What I heard you say, you had to step outside of a character everybody else identified you with, and you had to do something different.
Correct.
You had to do something different. Yep. That's awesome. And the empowerment nugget is be bold enough to step out or be bold enough to walk in who God has created you to be. I'm telling you, this is a good topic. So if you guys want to call in and interject and have questions, the call-in number is area code 516-595-8287, and we have the chat open. And for many women, they lack the boldness because they have been beat down so much, and hair is a biggie to us. It's a biggie. Nowadays, the bald head is the look, the fade, the short hair, the color. I remember when I tried to go natural, and I had my afro in, and the looks that I got when I wore the afro, it's funny because people categorize you or they categorize you, or they make a determination of who you are by how you wear your hair. That's funny.
Yeah.
You know, if I wear my hair long and it's full of curls or waves, you know, then I'm too sexy. If I wear my hair crinkly, curly, then I'm too wild. If I cut my hair off and I have a pixie cut, then I look like, you know, I have something to say. If I put a bun in, then I'm too religious. But then if I wear my afro, then that's intimidating. And when I was wearing my afro, the looks that I got from certain people in corporate America, it was almost appalling. It came off as offensive, and I couldn't believe that the way I wore my hair was, I was made to feel a certain way, and that, you know, and that stops us. Like, wow, you know, it really hit home, you know, how we have certain things in our lives that can stagnate us from our purpose and our destiny, because we really don't understand who we are, and being comfortable with that. So any more on that, who you are, you know, you can't pursue until you accept. I guess that's an acceptance of who you are, accepting your skin color, accepting your smile. You know, to me, it's an acceptance of all of my flaws, accepting all of my strong points and all of my weak areas. Amen. Amen. We have a caller, and I'm going to open up the phone line unless you have something. Let's open up the phone line.
No, that was good. That was it. Accepting definitely was big, accepting who you are.
Okay. Caller 550, you have a question? Welcome.
Hi. I don't have a question right at this moment.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you in there. If you have a question, type something in the chat, okay? So basically, you know, just the acceptance part, accepting. The big one was for me is when, even when your body starts to change as you get older, and you're not that size 7-8 anymore, and you move up to the 9-10, and you start to have children, and you know, between life and hormones and stress, and you don't even have to be a big eater, but when things start to change and your body starts to change and your skin starts to change. I remember when my body changed from 15 to 20. I remember what my 20-year-old body looked like. I remember what my 30, every 10 years, I knew when things were changing. I knew what my 30-year-old body looked like versus my 20-year-old body. And then 40, it was like, wow, you hit 40. And things start to shift. Things start to shift even more, and you're like, and then accepting the fact things are going to change, things are going to change, and I think the biggest thing is the acceptance, understanding who I am and what I stand for is in the acceptance, and that's the way we move towards our purpose and our destiny, is being okay with who we are, whether being a size 5. Or a size 22. We have another caller. Hold on.
Okay.
Caller 270, your mic is open. You have a question?
Yes, I do. What if I'm walking into my purpose, but there's like so many things knocking me off course so much that I want to give up? Does that mean that I continue to try to achieve my purpose, or does that mean to stop?
Tiffany, you want to tackle that, or you want me to answer that? Let's look at it. Say that again. If you know your purpose, right?
Yes, and I'm walking in my purpose.
Okay.
And it's like I'm walking in my purpose, but there's so many things knocking me off course. Is that a sign letting me know that I need to stop or to just keep going and take the hits and blows?
Well,
so,
I'm going to say it like this. Go ahead, Tiffany. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you say you know your purpose and you're walking in your purpose, but you're taking so many hits and blows. You're asking, should you stop or should you keep going?
Both. Is that a sign that I need to stop or is that a sign to keep going?
Okay. So if I were to ask you, when knowing your purpose, so you've done all the checks and balances, you know your callings, you know your gifts, you know your profession, you understand, you're comfortable and confident in who you are, you got a mentor, you sought God, you've done all these things, and now you're running towards your purpose, right?
Yes.
And you now you're taking all these blows, right?
Yes, yes.
So I never read that anything was going to be easy. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, when you say hits and blows, should you stop? No, you should not stop, because it's in the hits and blows where you learn to mature towards your purpose. Because you have to have zeal, but you have to have maturity, because your gift can take you, but your character is going to have to keep you. So you know who you are, you know all these, you're confident in where you're going, but wherever you're going, wherever your destination is, and you're moving towards your purpose, and you're going to be utilizing your gifts, you have to have the character makeup so you can accomplish the task, because you still have to learn how to be a servant, and you still have to learn how to have the compassion. And like the Bible says, you have to have certain fruit that should be on your tree, so when you're moving in your purpose, you know, you won't do any damage. So sometimes the blows that we take on our way or to develop us and to keep us and to mature us while we're on our journey, it's never the destination that's the important part. It's the process, like that your blows are your process. And even though you understand and you're confident in who you are, it's still a process, because we go from faith to glory, and we're being built as we go along. So you don't stop. And a lot of people, they want the glory, but they don't want to do what it takes to get there. And the blows, because everybody has taken a few blows in their life, and we're going to continue to take some blows. But this is the blows, I believe, are the process that we have to go to be mature, to be servants, to understand who we are, why he created us for what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's good,
something.
And I love how you kept stretching. I love how you kept stretching the confidence in knowing who you are, the confidence in knowing what your purpose is. And you already have that confidence. So in having that confidence, you have to know that you can't allow anything to derail you from your purpose. You know that's what you're supposed to be doing. You know who you are, and you're confident in it. So you know, you have to know that this is just what comes with it, and nothing can stop me from it or derail me from what it is that I am to do, because it's only perfecting. So I love how you kept stretching, knowing and having that confidence, Apostle.
That's awesome. Caller, you want to say anything else on the topic?
No, ma'am. You answered my question. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Okay. Great. This is a great topic. I'm going to see if this caller has anything to say. Caller 550, did you still want to hold, or you got a question?
I have a question. So it's pretty much if you start in your work and trying to learn what your purpose is, how do you stay focused with that when you feel like you keep trying? I feel like I'm holding back because I feel like I'm not doing all the steps. that I should be doing.
Okay.
Like, I feel like, okay, I wanna go to church, but before I go to church, I wanna know that I'm reading my Bible on a regular. Like, I'm trying to get my ducks in a row when I just need to go and then do it. But I just don't know how to. I just feel like every time I feel like I'm ready to just to take the steps and just, all right, just go. You're just going to do it, and then your ducks is going to line up then. But I'm finding myself that I keep trying to align my ducks first and then trying to move forward.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tiffany, you want to take this one or –
So what I'm hearing is that there are steps that you want to take to move forward, but there are because of the things that you want to do first or the things that you may feel like you have to do first, it's hindering you from taking the major step that you want to take. And let me make sure, is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay, so what I would say to that, and I remember a pastor that I used to know, and this is just a process, and I'm going to just use marriage for example, and I would hold that off as long as I could, and I remember the reason it being is because it's like, oh, well, we want to have this type of income first, and oh, well, we want to have that done first, you know, our career signed up and school done and all of these. This whole checklist that we had before, yes, I do. And I remember the pastor just simply telling me, you know, he was like, you know, if we wait and put off things so long because we want to have this done first, that done first, and that done, you'll never get to that place. You know, it won't happen, or it'll happen way further down the line than it, you know, was supposed to. So my whole take on things is I'm a firm believer that when I walk out into one place on faith, then the other doors are going to start opening, that things are going to start lining up. So I think the big thing is you already have a plan in knowing where you want to go, but sometimes we can stop ourselves from moving forward because of that checklist that we have of making sure we got everything lined up. And sometimes you just have to just step. You just have to just move in it and then just watch everything fall into place. So I would encourage you to be bold and just step out and move in it and watch what happens and lines up in place for you. And then you'll be going over that checklist like, dang, you know, I didn't even have to do all of that first. Or, you know, this happened just because I walked out and stepped in it. And so that's what I would say. You know, don't beat yourself up about the things you feel like you have to do first before – you know, doing one thing, just go for it. Go for it and watch what happens.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you. Yeah, that was really good. Thank you.
Okay, we got another caller on the line. 760, did you have a question?
I do have a question, and I do have a comment as well. My comment is this. The thing that I learned is that, and what helped me to get past me not finally, you know, walking into my destiny in life, is that my destiny is not directly connected to people's approval. That's what is connected to me not walking into my destiny. There are so many times when we're told as a baby, as a child, and you're growing up as a teenager, that you're a troublemaker, you won't amount to anything. And if all these things are said and they, you know, people say they're true, it's us who know that there's something in us that is just, you know, waiting to burst out and to break forth. So when they tell you that you talk funny or you sound funny when you talk, but there's something in you that says, I need to keep talking because I've got something to say. If you follow the thing that is within you, then your destiny isn't cut off. As an adult, as the previous caller was saying, I want to go to church, but I feel like I need to get in my word more. I need to pray more. But again, that's because, you know, society has painted a picture, and we're thinking, what if I'm not accepted because I'm not where I need to be in my word or praying? But the truth of the matter is, if you go to church, most people in church aren't praying, and they're not in their word. But they are coming. So that shouldn't be something that would prevent you from actually coming, because there is something that God has for you, and that desire that you have is because it is God himself who has placed that within you. He's attempting to draw you, but you're not coming because of what society, what you think society is going to say or not say, accept and receive you or push you away. Don't let anything separate you from the love of God that you have. If you have a desire, go. And the worst thing that could happen is they'd be like, go home. But what church would say that? And if they did, then that's not where you need to be. So I just wanted to say the thing that helped me in life to get to my place and my appointed destiny was I got over my fear of what man thought and what man was going to think and what man was going to perceive, because I learned that most people have on a mask anyway. They're putting on a persona. They want you to think it's a certain way, and they are a certain way when it's not. And if they took time to put the work in to be who they perceive everybody, you know, wants them to be, then they would already be there. Just put the work in and forget about what everybody else is going to think or say, and you will get to your destiny and you will surpass it way past your expectations.
I have a question for the caller, because I think it was episode 2 or 3 where we talked about fear. Why is the fear of what man thinks, why do we put that as so important when it comes to discovering ourselves? I don't want to say this because of what they may think. I don't want to do this because of what they may think. I don't want to operate in my gift because of what they may think. I don't want to flow in the church because of what they may think. Why do we put so much relevance on what man thinks about us? And that seems to be sometimes the determining factor why some people are so stagnant, because they're worried about the perception of other people.
Yes, exactly. What you have said is 100% true. But what I know about us being, you know, trapped in that place of worried about what somebody's going to think or concerned about it, it is a learned behavior. It's something we're taught from the time we're a child. It's all about what we perceive someone's expectation of us is. And why we put their expectation above our own, I'll never know, but I've done it. I've been there. But after you get, you know, free from that, then you understand. We've got one life to live. This place, this time, these people, there are no do-overs. If you spend your time pleasing man and doing what you think they desire for you to do and not doing what you want to do, your life will be lived, but it'll be unfulfilled. So at some point, you have to put your desires above what everyone else says. That's why it's important to have a vision board, a vision for your life, to, you know, set goals and all of those things. Those things bear fruit. Being held in bondage by man bears no fruit beyond what that person's expectation of you is. And even then, they're going to set the bar low because they don't want you to outachieve them. They don't understand that what is intended for you is for you, and what's intended for them is for them. I was once told by my mentor, she said, if God desired for us all to be going the same way, doing the same thing on the same level, we would all be robots. None of us, not two of us, are the same. Even identical twins are different. So it's all about finding out who you are, knowing your identity, and that thing that is in you that speaks the loudest to you, you need to pursue it, especially if you're in God. If you're in the world and you're doing what it is that the world tells you to do, then you're on a path of destruction, because that part of you is going to speak loudly, and it's going to take you down a path you should not go. But you have to, at some point, become the one who determines what your own identity is, not that of your friends. And as Tiffany said, when we're going through an identity crisis, we're trying to figure out who we are. And if you surround yourself with people, it's going to speak to a certain part of you, but it's not going to satisfy you. When you are in your destiny, there is a level of satisfaction that nothing else compares to.
If you had something on that, I heard you moan when she said satisfaction.
No, I was saying that's good, and I just had to just sit and just, you know, ponder on that part of the people that we put ourselves around, and when they speak to a part of us, but what they're saying is not satisfying us. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to really start identifying is, you know, what, how am I feeling and what is going on with certain people that I involve myself with certain people that I put myself around, and, you know, also too, and how they make you feel, and if it's, if you're satisfied. But that was just so profound and good to just say that. And I think when people begin to really start noticing and realizing who they put themselves around and how it's really making them feel, even the energy that they get from the people that they put themselves around, then they will know, you know, learn how to start separating themselves from the things that are not satisfying their soul, the things that are not satisfying who they are actually trying to be and who they should be. So I really, really like what was said.
Amen. If I can just piggyback on that real quick, and what Tiffany just said, you know, I saw a T-shirt, a slogan, you know, and it was talking about how, you know, destiny over acceptance equals separation. That time comes when we have to separate ourselves and desire to, you know, push beyond just acceptance in order to get to our destiny. It, you know, it's so tragic because people mean well. But in their meaning well, they don't have any idea who you are and the places that it is that you're supposed to be going and the things in life you're supposed to be doing. But they'll encourage you with just, you know, surface words and opinions. But you need to have people in your life that can take you beyond the surface of things and be able to, you know, go deep so that they can help propel you into the place of your destiny. You know, every time, destiny over acceptance. If everybody's accepting me, I cannot be in the place of my destiny. Because when you're in your place of destiny, people are going to come against you because they're not going to understand what you're doing, why you're doing it. They certainly aren't going to necessarily all approve of the things that you're doing. That's how you know you're in your destiny. There is a point of resistance that comes with the destiny. But when you're being accepted by everybody in your circle of influence, you've got to know you're not where you're supposed to be. Life isn't meant to be all hunky-dory and easy flow all the time. The ebb and flow should be one against the other and not everything going so smoothly.
That's good. That's good. You said something earlier about a change in your mindset. We were talking about man's approval or what man thinks, and you said, and I believe you said, it starts when we're children, and it's a learned behavior. And cognitive behavior is the fact that if I believe it enough or if I speak it enough, then I start to believe it. And if I believe it, it becomes a part of me. And as it becomes a part of me, I start to act like it. And that's like cognitive behavior therapy, because what is told to me, now I've made that my own. And when I make it my own, now it's part of my perception, how I see myself. And if I see myself like that, then I begin to act like that. And when if I act like that, now I've made that a part of my genetic makeup, and that becomes my learned behavior. But learned behavior can be reversed if you change your mindset on how you think about yourself. And I have to now believe what God says I am versus what man says I am. And I think that's the issue, because you made another comment that some people in church don't study, they don't read. It's just there to shout and dance. But if you're really not studying to understand what God has really said, who and whose you are, then there won't be that mind shift, and that learned behavior is going to stay there. We had a question that came across in the chat, and it says, how do I find my purpose when I'm in a church and I'm doing what I'm told to do, but I just don't know my purpose? They don't feel like they fit in with everyone else. Tiffany, you wanna answer that? You wanna answer that question?
So the first thing that stuck out to me. The first thing that stuck out to me was hearing them say they don't feel like they fit in with everyone else. And I think that's a problem that we face in society, is trying to fit in with everybody else. And I think when we try to fit ourselves in with everybody else and with everybody else doing, that's when we suffer with identity crisis. That's when we suffer with knowing who we are. And feeling like we have no purpose, because either we're not doing what everybody else is doing, or we're steady comparing the apple and oranges, we're steady comparing the lemons. And I think that you have to have, it goes back to having that confidence in knowing who you are. It goes back to, We have to separate ourselves from comparing ourselves to other people. We have to take away the thought of, I feel like I'm not fitting in with or fitting in at all, because as it was said, we are all unique, and we all have our own lane. We all have our own designation. We all are designed. We're all purposed to work together. But what each person brings to the table is going to always be different. I can't do what you do and it be effective. You can't do what I do and it be effective. So we just have to just come out of the mindset of trying to fit in with what everyone else is doing and comparing ourselves to other people. Because if not, then we'll find ourselves always feeling purposeless and hurt. And what I would say is find enjoy. If you have enjoyment in what you're doing, focus on that and focus on what's coming out of that you're doing and how effective it is, versus looking at what everyone else is doing and feeling like you don't fit in or not as, you know, or don't have as big of a role as someone else. But be happy in your role and what it's doing, and pay attention to what it's actually doing for those that you are serving. And that's what, yeah.
That's good. That's good. And I want to piggyback on that, because what I focused on was, how do I find my purpose when you're in a church and you're doing what you're told to do, but you just don't know your purpose? So, and that tells me, you know, you got a lot of people that are sitting in the building and they're doing what they're told, but the gifts are not being utilized. They don't understand that they are called. They don't understand that they have gifts and talents that can be utilized. That's different than me. I'm doing what I'm told to do. That means, okay, my leaders are instructing me, do this, 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 and this, but I can still feel purposeless if I don't have the passion and the drive for what I'm doing. Because your passion and drive should be part of your purpose. I think we said earlier that knowing your purpose is an instant motivator. So if I'm motivated in what I'm doing and my gifts or my talents is connected to my motivation and my moving, that means I'm moving in my purpose. So let's talk a little bit, and we're going to have to do a part two, because we didn't even get to have the stuff that Tiffany and I have down. But let's talk about that a little bit. When you have people that are just sitting, and it doesn't even have to be in the church, it could be, you know, in the marketplace, that you're sitting in the position, but you're not being utilized. You're sitting in a job, but, you know, you have talents that are not being used. You're doing what your supervisor is telling you to do to get the paycheck, but you're empty. You're feeling empty because you know this is not your purpose. So my empowerment nugget to that question would be, change the way you see yourself, change your mind on where you are, because now, now the mindset should be, if you're in a job, that this job is going to fund my purpose. So I'm going to be committed to this because it's going to fund my purpose. Now let's switch it to the household of faith. Then that means if you're in a church and you're doing what your leader is telling you to do, you have some faith in your leader. It's time for you and your leader to have some conversation, because your leader should be mentoring you towards your gifts and your talents to help you reach your purpose. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
can
you shouldn't sit in a – yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I just want to add one thing to that. And what's important here is communication. Sometimes leaders don't know. Not all of them are so in tune. There's so many people in a church sometimes, and there's so many bodies. And you as a congregant, a church member, and this is for those who are members of churches, at some point, if it hasn't been already presented to you, you should request a meeting with your pastor to sit down and have that conversation, so that they can get to know you. And even if you've been there a long time, if you and your pastor aren't communicating on the regular, they knew the person you were when you joined. They know the works that you do now, but they don't know you as a person. So to avail yourself and call the church office and say, Pastor, can I talk with you? I think we need to play catch up on the place that I am in my life and where I feel I should be, but I'm having trouble seeing it clearly. I need some sound counsel. Then your pastor in turn will say, yes, absolutely, let us talk, so that we can, you know, find out exactly how I can help you to get to your destiny. Same thing on your job. You go to your supervisor and say, you know, I'm working, I'm doing all these things, and I've been doing it for, 15, 10, 20 years, but I'm feeling unfulfilled now. You know, help me to see what I can do now for the company. I have some desires. I've got some hobbies, some things I've been doing, things I've been, dabbling in with that I think can benefit the company. But if you don't have that conversation and you don't tell anyone, instead what you're going to start to do is internalize. And you could be like, I'm over here working hard, and I'm cleaning, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and they ain't even taking notes. Notice all the things I'm doing and how I've changed and how I've grown. And then you come into a place where you're no longer content, and you're definitely not satisfied with the place you're in life. And what can fix it and rectify it is conversation, communication. Mm. Open your mouth.
Tiffany, you got something to say?
I'm agreeing. That's good. Communication is key. Communication is key. We cannot always assume someone knows everything about us, or what, what we think they should know or should be doing for us. But, being able to communicate and making sure that, that's good. I'm just stuck
and
on
communication.
Can I
add something to that as well? I just want to say this. Communication is key, but you got to talk to the right people. We communicate with ourselves, and that's the biggest part of the problem, is we communicate with ourselves. So we're the counsel who's giving advice to the person who is not certain what to do. Please communicate with the right people that can do something about the situation. I tell people in church all the time, if you don't go to the source, the very one that can make a change to things, then you have gone in the wrong place. So if I'm in a place in my life and I'm unhappy with it, I'm going to go to the maker. I'm going to go to God because he can change that situation. Then for accountability, because there's something in me that could cause me to slide to the left or slide to the right, I'm going to reach out to my accountability partner and say, hey, I've had some conversation with God because I'm not content in this area of my life, and I need to be held accountable to make certain I don't slide off the scale.
Oh, all righty.
Well, I tell you what, this is such a good topic. It's time for us to close. We're going to have to go ahead and do a part two next week, because we couldn't even touch everything in the short amount of time. So I urge you all to tune in next week at 1:30 for the focus factor here. I tell you, come on back. It's going to be me and Tiffany Hunter, and we're just going to chew on this a little bit. And we're going to talk about still developing a roadmap to your purpose, because this is necessary. So we thank you all for tuning in. T,
Tiffany, you want to say goodbye real fast before we cut off? We're getting ready to leave.
Absolutely. You all enjoy the rest of your Saturday and hope to hear from you all next week.
Thank you all.